Good evening this evening. Good to see all of you here. We appreciate your presence. Hope you had a good afternoon and spent some time with, we had quite a few visitors here today. And I hope that those of you who were with family enjoyed that time together. I'm also glad you came back tonight because I think we have something to talk about that will maybe cause you to slow down and think about your life in Christ and what it demands of you. You know, as I was preparing for this lesson, I couldn't help but remember a man who I once knew. He's now deceased. But he was a craftsman, a woodworker. He had a shop and he made all kinds of things. And really good. I mean, he made these little mantle clocks and all these things. And, you know, he would bring those to church with him. And he'd say, "Look what I made." And you'd say, "Oh, wow, that's nice." You know, and it was, and you're trying to be complimentary to them, and you tell them it's nice. And then you'd give them about 3 weeks, and he'd come up and say, "Here, I've got this for you. You commented about how nice that was. I want you to have this." And so you take it, and you say, "Wow, thank you." And he said, "And that'll be $75. You know, he made a fortune. The men of the congregation got to where they wouldn't compliment him on anything because he would bring you the whatever it was that he was making and then bill you for it. And you do, if I knew the price up front, I might have responded a little bit differently. And when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, we need to know what the price is to follow Jesus. There is a price to following him. In fact, Jesus made mention in Luke chapter 14. He said, "Before you go to war, do you not count the cost first? Do you not sit back and say, 'Now let me see, how big's my army and how big's his army?' And if you don't have a big enough army to win, you make peace with that nation." And who doesn't, before you build a house, first decide, "Do I have enough money to make that kind of a house payment? You know, can we do this? Can we swing this?" And if you don't, well, then you don't do that. And those who proceed without first counting the cost have a lot of people look back and say, "Boy, that wasn't very smart." And Jesus was making that point in reference to becoming his disciple. He in essence said, being my follower isn't for everybody. If you want to follow me, it's going to cost you. And before you come and follow me, you need to weigh the cost because it may be more than you're able or willing to pay. That's not usually how we look at Christianity, is it? We just want everybody to come. We just want everybody. And we sometimes aren't too concerned about commitment levels. We just want to get them in the water, you know, and have another baptism. But Jesus is more interested, or he's interested in more than just baptisms. If you're not willing to make sacrifices, the kind of sacrifices he calls us to, then you don't need to begin that walk with him. In fact, Peter said that those who once escaped the pollutions of this world and who became followers of Jesus, and then they turned back to the world, he said the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It would have been better had they never even begun to follow Jesus, because they knew, and to turn their back on it willingly, I think there's a higher accountability in the eyes of God, a greater degree of punishment in the eyes of God for that kind of decision. So tonight I want us to look at, in using the backdrop of Zacchaeus, I want us to look at the price, the cost of following Jesus. If you have your Bible, open it to Luke chapter 19. That's where we read about Zacchaeus. And we all know the story of Zacchaeus, how he was a little man and his stature was so short that it's mentioned. You know, there are people who are short, but, you know, nobody goes around pointing it out. But he was short enough that the Bible says this guy was short. And he climbs a tree because he wants to see Jesus. The press of the crowd was so great that he was afraid he was going to miss him, not be able to see him. So he climbs up in a tree so that he can see Jesus when he passes by. And Jesus takes notice of him and calls out to him and says, "I want you to come down out of that tree. because I want to go to your house. And he brought salvation to Zacchaeus' house that day. And that's how the story ends. And it's the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 19. And what I'd like for us to do, though, is look at that passage, because I think there are three distinct prices or costs to salvation, to following Jesus. And the price to see Jesus, the first one, is this. There's the price to see Jesus, and that involves what others might think about us. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 1 beginning. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, or who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. So the price to see Jesus is, what are people going to think about you? You see, he really went, no pun intended, out on a limb here, did he not? Sorry about that. That's bad. I didn't plan it either. But think of what, he's a chief tax collector. He's not just a tax collector. He's one of the bosses. And it says, oh, he was rich. How do you think that flew with the people that were his associates, or at least the people of the community? They didn't have a whole lot of regard for these tax collectors. They oftentimes were dishonest and would charge more for than they were supposed to. They resented them in the first place because of their subjugation to Rome and their connection to Rome and paying taxes to this foreign entity that has removed our sovereignty. They didn't like the tax collectors. And he was one of them. And man, he was an easy mark. I mean, he's got this issue with his stature to deal with. Don't you know that he heard people? Don't you think in his lifetime he heard all the short jokes he ever wanted to hear? You know, that works the other direction too. I've heard a lot of stuff, you know, in my lifetime. And I'm sure he did too. And now, but he wanted to see Jesus. And he already knew he was an easy mark and people didn't care much for him and didn't have a whole lot of respect for him. And probably he had heard all the jokes. But here's what he so wants to see Jesus, he's willing to pay the price of what other people are going to think about him. Because he goes ahead where he knows Jesus is going to be walking and he climbs up in a tree to see him. Respectful men don't go climb a tree. You know, you don't see, can you imagine some senator or some respected person in our government or the mayor of Knoxville or whatever it is, you know, we're having some get together and here they are, they're climbing a tree. Don't you know that would make them a mark? People would make fun of, they would ridicule, they would laugh at him openly, not just behind his back, but openly. But he was willing. He was willing to be ridiculed because of the cause of Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, and he didn't care what other people thought of him. You know, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to pay the price of what other people think about you. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, you know, you're my disciples, and a disciple is not above the teacher. And you've seen what they've done to me, right? You know how they've treated me and abused me and mocked me and ridiculed me and persecuted me. You've seen all that. So you do know, right, that it's coming to you too. You're not above me. And if they did these things to me, they're going to do it to you. And you know why? If you were of the world, they would love you. But you're not of the world. You're trying to follow Jesus, trying to follow God. And for that reason, you're different. And they're going to hate you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to ridicule you. And if you can't take that, you're not going to be a very good disciple of Jesus. And I tell you, in our culture, if that's the worst that happens to us, come on. I mean, you can go to other cultures and people lose their lives for wearing the name of Jesus. Go back to our brothers and sisters in the first and second and third century. Look what happened to them. I mean, they were fed to wild animals. I was talking about one of those martyrs this morning in Bible class, Ignatius. They fed him to the wild beast, and there was nothing left of him to even be cleaned up by. You remember how when Paul was stoned, they went out to gather up his body and they found out he was alive, but they came out to take care of him. When Ignatius was killed, there was nothing left to clean up. He was completely consumed by the wild beast. That's what people used to have to do. So somebody's going to carry me, ridicule me because I'm carrying a Bible. They're going to call me a Bible thumper. They're going to call me a fundamentalist. They're going to call me names and laugh at me and ridicule me and think and say what I believe is Puritan. And so what? Is it not worth having people ridicule you if it will enable you to see Jesus? Zacchaeus thought so. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 13, on the day of Pentecost, I mean, right from the get-go, right as the church begins, Peter and the 11 apostles are speaking in tongues, and there are people there that all they can do is make fun and mock and ridicule. They have no answer to the power that they've seen exhibited. All they can do is say, yeah, these guys are drunk. They're drunk on new wine, grape juice. They can't even handle their grape juice. You know, so they're just, and it was just mockery. Can you take mockery in order to see Jesus? 2 Peter 3 and verse 3 talks about the scoffers that think we're kind of silly for looking for the return of Jesus. There's a price to seeing Jesus, and it's that you'll be ridiculed and persecuted and made fun of. Other people may think you're a little weird. Okay, that comes with it. We need to weigh that. If people and what they think about you matters more to you than what God thinks about you, that might be a deal breaker for you. But I sure hope not, because there's too much to receive than what you might lose in that. Here, let me give you a second thing. There's a price to see Jesus, and that has to do with what other people think about you. But there's also a price to host Jesus, and that has to do with our personal inconvenience. Because look at what happens here. Zacchaeus climbs up this tree so that he can see Jesus as he passes by the way. And look at what it says beginning in verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him, listen, joyfully. Wait, where does it say Zacchaeus was expecting that? He just wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house to stay. Well, I haven't talked to my wife about that. Wonder what she's going to think when I come in the house with company, you know, and a meal and preparing more. Well, that's inconvenient. Would you do that? Have you ever just brought somebody home unexpected, unannounced, that puts you out where you have to make up a bed and keep them, and you don't know exactly how this is going to happen, and transportation becomes a problem, and maybe one of your kids has to, well, like they did in Andy Griffith, sleep on the ironing board or something like that. You know, what about that? What are you going to do with that? Listen, hosting Jesus may cause you some personal inconveniences. Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus's house. And what I want you to see is how Zacchaeus received that invitation joyfully. No whining, no, can you believe that? The gall, the nerve. He invited himself to our house to stay. Who does that? You see, there's none of that. The response is that he was thrilled. He received that news joyfully. Listen, what about you? Are you willing to host Jesus, to pay the price for hosting Jesus in your life? Do you understand that that will mean inconveniences for you? And when those inconveniences come, can you receive them joyfully? There are sometimes church programs that we get involved in and good works. And I'm thinking of something that did not happen here, so I'm not talking about anything here. But I remember a particular program that was really, really a good work. But it involved a lot of work. And there were several people that were involved in this ministry. And it meant the world to the people who were the recipients of the kindness that was involved in this particular ministry. And it took quite a bit of preparation and quite a bit of work for it to be accomplished. And I can remember on occasions being close to those who were performing that ministry and thinking, wow, I've never heard more complaining in all my life. I mean, if those people that you're doing this for could only hear how you're talking about them and the inconvenience and the struggle and the hardship that it puts on you, they'd say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want your help. Is there something to doing good and hosting Jesus in your life, but hosting him with the right attitude? Just doing right things is not sufficient. We need to do them with the right attitude. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, do you remember Paul said, man, I'm telling you, you can speak in tongues, you can prophesy, you can perform miracles. Hey, you can do all that stuff. But if you don't have love, that's just like noise you're making. He said, you can give all your goods to feed the poor. You can even give your body to be burned as a martyr. And if you don't have love, those good deeds absolutely mean nothing. And how we do the work that we do, how we host Jesus in our life, when we're called upon to serve and to do for him, and when he wants to come to our home and inconvenience us, and we're called to do things that are going to take time and effort and work and inconvenience, what's our attitude? Zacchaeus was joyful. Maybe we just need to be reminded why we're doing what we're doing. You know, if I just see it as a task, then maybe I lose perspective and I get a little aggravated and put out and the inconvenience becomes an aggravation. But if I could only but remember that this is for my Savior, I'm doing this because I want him to use whatever I have and I want to be of service to him. Then I can do those tasks, though they're difficult, I think I can do them with joy. It'll cost us to be a disciple of Jesus. It cost Zacchaeus the price to see Jesus, what others were going to think of him. There was a price to hosting Jesus, his personal inconvenience. And then here's the third and final point. There was a price to follow Jesus, and it had to do with the moral demands on his life. Look at verse 8 through 10. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. There's a price to follow Jesus. Moral demands. Listen, Jesus isn't just some kind of revolutionary that doesn't care about how you live, just you have to have the right beliefs. He's so much more than that. He calls for an inner change in our life, a conversion. Be not conformed to this world, Romans 12 and verse 3, but be transformed verse 2, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to what Zacchaeus said. He said, Lord, I'm a rich man. You know, we already read that. He's a rich man. And he's so rich that he says, I give half of what I make to the poor. I can live off the other half. I don't need all that I make. And what I do with that excess is I help people. That's a good thing. You know, that's the way we're supposed to use our money. Read what Paul tells rich people to do and those who desire to be rich to do in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing with his money. There's a, man, money puts a strain on your morality. It separates the genuine disciple from the hypocrite. It brings about a tension that you have to decide, who am I going to serve? Who am I living for, myself or my God? You guys, you know, just this past week, with the collection that was given, the 160,000 or whatever it was, I mean, you demonstrated that you're committed to the cause of Christ and you're not owned by your money, you own your money. And that's an admirable and honorable thing. And not only that, but look at what else he says. If I have taken something from somebody by false accusation, if I've been dishonest when I'm dishonest, I give back fourfold. If you read in your Bible in the book of Numbers, in the book of Numbers chapter 5 and verse 7, if you cheated somebody out of money, the law said you have to restore the money that you cheated them out of plus a fifth by way of penalty. So to put that in, you know, monetary terms, if I cheated you out of $100, the law would say I'd have to pay you back $120. Zacchaeus said, that's not the way I do it. If I cheat somebody out of money, I pay them back fourfold. If he cheated you out of $100, he'd give you $400. This man was serious about his morality. And so must we be. Jesus calls us to a holy life. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. He calls us to cling to cleave to grasp and not let go of good things and to learn to hate evil things. And I think that's one of the greatest challenges we have. It's not to love God. That's easy. How can you not love God? I mean, what has he done for you or to you that hasn't been for your betterment and for your good? Loving God's easy. The hard part is learning to hate sin because it's pleasurable and it's hard to say no to. And it appeals to us, or at least our baser nature. And so, you know, we find ourselves doing things that we shouldn't do. And some people just give in to that and they say, hey, that's just the way I am. They make excuses. I'm only human. Things like that are said. And what God is calling us to is to do better than that. Stop making excuses. Live up to my high and holy standard and begin to train yourself to hate sin as well as love righteousness. And so those three things I would like for you to consider tonight that I think we see in the life of Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus, but there was a price. There was a price to pay. Salvation came to his house that day, but he had to pay at least, I see from the text, three prices. There was the price to see Jesus, what others might think of him. There was the price to host Jesus. There was personal inconvenience. He's coming to my house. And there was the price to follow Jesus. Moral demands on your life. Those three things are just as true today as they were in the days of Zacchaeus. God calls on us to forget about what others think about you. You keep your eyes on me. And don't let anybody dissuade you. Yes, I'll call on you to make sacrifice and demands, and you'll have to deny yourself, take up a cross, and follow me. But do it. And also, you're going to have to live a holy life. Without holiness, no one will see God. So we are left with this choice. Do I live for myself here and now and enjoy the 70, 80, 90 years that we have to the best of our ability and then pay for it later? Or do I live for the Lord now and suffer and experience inconvenience and people making fun of us and doing hard things and denying self? But then when this life is over, I have an eternity in heaven with my Father. It seems like an easy choice when you put it that way. We just need to remember what the choice is and look at it objectively. And when we do, I think I know what we would choose. But that choice is yours, and it's yours tonight. And I'd like to ask you, as we sing this song of encouragement in just a minute, if you haven't yet given your life to the Lord, why don't you do that tonight? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If that's what you need to do, do it tonight. Make that decision. There will be a price to pay, but the dividends far outweigh the cost. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful and it's time to come back home and you're tired of sin and you want the hope of salvation, we'll pray with you to that end if you'll come as we stand together and sing.